We're in Matthew chapter 4 this morning, verses 23 and 24. I'd say probably the most dramatic healing that I've ever received in my life was from a bout with depression. I was attending Bible college at the time. There were four of us living off campus and sharing an apartment. Jeff and I were breakfast cooks. We shared one bedroom in the apartment. We had to be up at 3:30 in the morning to go cook breakfast, so we went to bed pretty early every night. One of my roommates, or housemates, whatever you call it, Gordon, was a security guard as well as worked on maintenance at the college, and so he was out late at night a lot of times. He was no telling when he would be home. The other fellow was a student at the grad school, the Assembly of God grad school. And unbeknownst to the rest of us, unbeknownst to Jeff and I should say, this other roommate was smuggling his girlfriend into the apartment late at night sometimes. Now, we went to bed, 8:30, 9 o'clock to get up in time, what have you. And we were unaware of the comings and the goings. Well, it got back to the Bible college that, there was a girl in the apartment and so on. And we asked our roommate about this, and he lied to our faces. That is not happening. They're trying to cause me trouble. They're this, they're that. So being good roommates and best friends, we stood up for the guy. We went to the administration and, well, here his girlfriend walked in and confessed before we went in there and defended the fella. And so they drew up papers and so on. They were going to expel us from college. And it was a difficult time. People that I admired, my professors and so on, thought me a liar. My ministry was about to end even before it got started. I had felt very strongly that this was the Bible college God wanted me to attend. And for this, it was all drawing to a close. So I sat down to write my parents a letter. My mind was just a fog. I don't know if you've ever been through an experience like that where you just can't trust anybody. If you can't trust your best friend, your roommate, looked me right in the eye, I didn't suspect a thing. Then if you're looking at godly men who are telling you you're done, it just was quite a befuddling experience. So I sat down to write a letter home to the folks, and I said, this is the worst day of my life. I've never felt worse in my entire life. I can't trust anybody. I don't know which end is up. I don't know where God is in all of this thing. I can't study. I can't think clearly. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And I pushed myself away from the desk and got up and walked around the little dining room that we had there. And as I got to the other corner of the dining room, God met me. It was just a sovereign move of God. The Holy Spirit fell. I felt the anointing of the Lord. I began to cry. I began to laugh. I felt that depression lift. I felt the joy of the Lord. Again, I was completely healed of that fog, that depression. My roommate Jeff was still going through that. I wished he would have received the same anointing I did, but at least I was there to help him one day at a time climb out of that hole. God provided. The professors came around. They eventually believed that we were innocent in the thing. We're able to finish college and so on and so forth. This morning we're going to talk about divine healing, sort of. And I'm sure that many of you have testimonies you could give of what God has done in your life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Father, we come to you this morning, and it's a lot easier not to study this stuff not to expect, not to anticipate, just be religious. But Lord, I love coming to a church where we feel the presence of God, where we court the presence of God, waiting here for you. We didn't wait for the message. We're not waiting for this or that. We're waiting here for you. And the Bible talks about signs following, that as your word is preached, you will affirm and confirm. And already this morning, Lord, you've been confirming to me over and over, this message is for this morning. Things are going to happen for some people. We're waiting in anticipation, waiting here for you. And Lord, we pray that during this message, even during the worship already, that people will be being healed. Lord, that grief will be lifted, that heartache will be healed, that bodies will be mended, that diseases will be dismissed. Whatever is troubling, God, will be gone. Waiting here for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been loosely following the book Follow, a text on discipleship over these weeks, months. A book by Brian Koch and Daniel McNaughton. And I came to this chapter titled Learn to Heal. And the authors take it in the direction of, as the disciples followed Jesus, they learned to heal people. They observed what he did, and then they took it to the streets themselves. But when I first read the title, I was going in a different direction in my mind. Learn to heal, as in learn to get better. Learn how to use the Word of God, allow God into our lives to take what has already been in our life and bring it to a better place. Learn how to mend, be improved, get healed, get better. The world would keep us trapped. Well, there's a reason you feel or do or act the way you do. It's because of your childhood, it's because of your past, and there's a lot of truth to that. The Lord would set us free and take what used to bind us and turn it into ministry. What I suffered through before, I can carry with me, and I can tell somebody, well, I know the Lord heals because this is what he did for me. I know the Lord can turn that around, what was difficult in my past before, and bring light to it. In fact, walking with Jesus is a lifelong course in taking what life has and is throwing at us and learning to transform it into building blocks for the kingdom of God. I have to chuckle because last week when we were in the prayer room, we were talking about a few things that were going on. And I don't know if you know or not, but Stan Jett has been off work for a while. His shoulder has been mending. He fell at work and he busted it up really bad. And he's been going through a lot of rehab and so on ever since. Hopeful to return to work here pretty soon. But we were talking about how you just never know. On any given day, something can happen. And sure enough, here's Steve gets hit with a sledgehammer. Of all the things that you're thinking, you just don't wake up in the morning and say, I wonder if I'll get hit with a sledgehammer today. You know, who comes up with this stuff? And Angie Klein being in the hospital with pneumonia. You know, you just would have never expected. Yeah. Shirley was out for a walk one day. I had a bit of a stroke or a stroke-like episode, and their lives are completely different ever since that moment. Walking with Jesus is a lifelong course in taking what life has and is throwing at us and learning to transform it into building blocks for the kingdom of God. Okay, God, you're sovereign. How does this fit into the picture? I talk a lot about that scavenger hunt, that jigsaw puzzle that God gives to us, and these pieces that come, and we try to fit them in. Lord, it just doesn't look like this is a piece you would hand a child of God. A woman who's had an abortion isn't condemned and cast out, but rather becomes a key speaker for the pro-life movement. She says, I wouldn't want this to happen to anybody else. I want them to know what's down the road. I want to help them. I want to rescue them from this plight. A couple that's experienced infidelity doesn't run away in shame, but shares their experience with others, helping them to improve their marriage. Oh, you don't want to go here. You don't want to have this in your life. A fellow physically abused by his father grows up to become a loving, nurturing dad. When you walk with Jesus, you learn to heal. You learn how to bring your scars to Jesus. You learn how to bring your brokenness to the Lord. God, this hurts. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. How often you've heard me say, we as Christians find ourselves in situations you never thought a Christian would find themselves. My spouse has filed for divorce. Not my spouse. But, you know, I have friends that I love dearly, blown away. Never thought of themselves as being a divorced person. And yet they're in that situation. A child born with special needs. I never thought we'd be dealing with this. I am not equipped to handle this. A parent with Alzheimer's. Dad or mom was always so sharp before. They always took care of us. How do we get this turned around? Jesus gives meaning to what we've been through. And he not only heals others, he heals his own. You ever wonder about that? You've suffered for years and years and years, and you see somebody who's not even saved get healed. God is ministering to them and is on the cutting edge. I mean, we shouldn't do this because you can't earn healing, right? But who could help to say, now why did they get healed? They're a jerk. And I've done everything I can to live right under God, and here I struggle. I know you folk are always way too spiritual to think thoughts like that, but sometimes they creep on the edge of my mind. And I say, oh Lord, how is it you're doing these things? Often God heals illnesses, diseases, and other physical conditions. Of course, the lame can walk, the blind can see when he moves. But he doesn't just heal others, my friend, he heals us. Maybe you have something you've wrestled with for a long time and you never even really... I know a lot of good people who just kind of take their stuff in stride. And you never really brought it to the Lord for healing. And maybe there's some things you never thought. A fear, a memory, guilt. You can bring that to the cross. You don't sleep well. My wife gave me a hug this morning before I left, and she said, do you ever miss us? That was a telling comment, you know. We used to go to the beach every summer. We used to run back to Pittsburgh to see the folks, you know, once every couple months or what have you. We used to this, we used to that. We aren't us anymore. We're not the us we used to be anymore. We're us. Maybe more us than we used to be for all the things that we walk through together. But Jesus heals his own. And, you know, there's that rawness that comes with faith that you say, well, somewhere along the line, I had to learn how to cope with this because we've prayed for healing, but healing hasn't come yet. But he has helped us. He's shown up and he's done this, he's done that, he's provided, he's helped us. I can handle it better than I used to be able to handle it. Then there are some dear souls who, when you've learned how to handle what, it gets worse. And so you have to learn to handle even more as time goes on. And it is for you and I to keep a balance between being thankful for the coping that He allows us to have and yet still keeping the fires of faith burning to say, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if today You moved in such a powerful way that we just didn't have to deal with this any longer? There was a moment in Job's life that it went from being terrible to being wonderful. From having such a hard struggle with it all to throwing a feast for the family to come and rejoice and saying, look what the Lord has done. To keep our faith. Maybe today is your day. Maybe today is your day. I have a friend who is used quite a bit in healing ministry. Travels the country, real tender-hearted, genuine fella. And his advice to us is, try. Anoint with oil. Pray for the sick. You never know what God's going to do. God is sovereign and God is good. Give Him a shot. That doesn't sound very theological or very doctrinal, you know, whatever. Proverbs 2:4, give God a shot. But there are days when God shows up and just surprises the bejiggers out of you. You know? Maybe today. And so this old preacher would just say to you, okay, I know what disappointment feels like. I know how sad it can be to sum up your courage and sum up your faith and say, okay, let's try this again. Let's go for prayer. But maybe today. I have a friend whose wife suffered from fibromyalgia and many different things, and they were actually wheeling her into services in a wheelchair. It got that bad. And then one Sunday night, just in a regular service, they weren't even praying for the sick. The Lord touched her and she stepped up out of that chair and going great guns ever since. Maybe today. Blind Bartimaeus, he was blind for a long time. Then one day Jesus was walking through Jericho and he yelled out, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. It's not out of sorts to cry out to the Lord. It's not out of sorts to cry. It's not out of sorts to beg the Lord. God, You see where I'm at. I know that You care. Why not today? When you walk with Jesus, learn to heal. Learn to expect healing. Learn to want to get better. Learn, yes. The world is always blunting that. It's always saying, get used to it. My dad used to sing a little ditty. How did it go? Oh, the bills are all due and the baby needs shoes and I'm busted, broke, no bread. They said, cheer up. Things could get worse. So I cheered up. And sure enough, things got worse. Oh, the bills are all due and the baby needs shoes and I'm busted, broke, no bread. And, yeah, don't let that become your theme song. Don't let that become your theme song. How about something like, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that fills my soul. Something happened. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. He's here this morning, my friends. He knows what's going on in your heart and in your life. And He still touches people like He always has. Healing is never once then done. Wouldn't that be great? You got healed from one thing and everything was taken care of forever. You just walked in wholeness and healing. We had an old fella in Stewart was his name, in Shanksville, 90 couple years old, 93 I think he was. Got lung cancer, into the hospital. They said he didn't have long to live. He had been the treasurer of the church back in the day, some 50 years earlier. And somebody questioned him one day and said, "Stuart, you've never been baptized. Have you been saved?" He got mad and walked out of the church. He'd never given his heart to the Lord. He had attended church. He'd taken an office in the church and so on. Stayed out. Got lung cancer. He gave his heart to Christ there at that late hour. The Lord healed him from lung cancer. He walked out of the hospital spry and in good health. Attended church every Sunday between then and when he had a heart attack and died 3 months later. You go, wow, how does that work? A friend of mine, 63 years old, Paul Poole, we went to Bible college. You've heard me mention him recently. He stepped down off a curb last May. He was working part-time for a funeral director, make a little extra money on the side. Stepped down off the curb to give a lady directions as she pulled over and said, "Hey, do you know where so-and-so?" Did a crazy kind of a flip, cracked his neck, split open his head. On the way to the hospital, he said to the ambulance driver, "You're going to see a miracle. God is going to intervene here." And they did see a miracle. When they did the tests and so on, most people with that kind of a break in the neck die instantly. Those who survive are paralyzed from the neck down. But God brought him back to gradually therapy. You ever been through that rehab stuff and learn to hate your therapist and so on? Through all that trauma, brought him back, doing pretty good. First week in November, he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. Dead by the end of November. You're going, "Lord, take me off the curb. Take me home. Go through that rehab just to find out, you know, when you figure God out, give me a call, will you? When you get all this stuff straightened out." Healing's never once than done. But he is an ever-present help in time of need. And he's good when you walk out of the hospital healthy. And he's good when he calls you home to glory. Quite a God. Learning to heal is a lifelong process where you will have more than a few testimonies. You'll have a testimony when God did touch you and miraculously, boom, it was all better. And you'll have a testimony of how God helped you to cope through long hours and difficult nights, but he brought you through. There's not just one way of healing. But let's step back into the author's intended meaning of the text for a moment. One of the first things Jesus did with his new disciples was to take them on a preaching and teaching on a healing tour. They went and they saw the most fantastic things. Later, they would go and do the very same things in Jesus' name. He gave them authority to cast out demons. He gave them authority to heal the sick. But first, they saw how it was done. They witnessed the nights Jesus spent in prayer as he prepared to minister the next day. They heard the scriptures he quoted, the prayers he prayed, the commands he gave. Go and wash in the pool. Go and sin no more. Go show the priest. Don't go back into town. After each service, can you imagine the questions they had for Jesus? Why this and how that? And dude, that was amazing. They were learning to care, learning to help, learning who to rebuke. You spend a lot of time wondering why people don't care. I guess we have to learn that, or maybe it comes natural to Christians. Wayne talked a little bit about that yesterday at our prayer breakfast. He said, you know, there are some things he does, and then everybody started sharing about things. Well, you know, I saw a couple ladies, they didn't have any money, so I bought them breakfast. I saw this, I did that. I learn to care. learn to help, learn who to rebuke, what's really going on in the middle of all of this. You know, the general consensus of society, the society that Jesus was born into, was that God blesses the good and God curses the evil. And so if you're doing well, God is approving of you. So if you're well-to-do and you're healthy and so on, that's a sign that God really likes you and you're a good person. And if you're not doing well, God's not smiling on you. He's frowning on you. You must have done something to deserve what you're doing. And therefore, if you're doing well, you have no obligation. In fact, it would be wrong for you to help those people who are struggling, because God's punishing them and you don't want to get in the way of what God's doing. So just enjoy your breakfast and allow them to starve. That was the thinking. We're talking about a religious society that got lost along the way. And Jesus is coming back and saying, oh, no, that's not how we do things. In fact, when we go into a village, we look for the hurting and the broken first. And they're the ones we minister to. Those are our people. Learn how to care. Jesus blew out of the water that whole theory of it's your fault. And yet that still lingers with us sometimes. Well, you know, if you did this, if you did that, if you'd shut up. Sometimes things just happen through no fault of the disabled person at all. We should look at people who are hurting as if they've been kidnapped by the enemy. And he can't have them. They're ours and we want them back. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Our mission isn't to condemn them, but to free them. Nobody needs somebody pulling over and saying, well, you know why you're in this fix you're in. Thanks. Yeah, kick him while he's down. Jesus went to the hurting, the broken, the sick, the possessed. Those were his people. That's how he became so popular. They had the synagogue, they had the temple, and so on and so forth. Jesus didn't bother with those guys. He found the prostitutes, the outcasts, the sinner, the people with leprosy, people nobody else would touch. Jesus would touch them. Those were his people. Are you hurting today? You are one of God's people. You are one of his targets this morning. You can be thankful you're hurting. You're part of God's kingdom. The healthy, the strong, yeah, we can be part of God's kingdom too, thank God, by his grace. But he has special care over those who are in need. He started the conversation with the woman at the well, not the other way around. He found the paralyzed guy beside the pool. He reassured the woman with the issue of blood that this is why he came, to help people. He bid her peace. Jesus waded right into the midst of the ill and the handicapped. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. As he did, he was teaching his disciples, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. So what can I do? What can I do for you? That's our question. Everybody we come in contact with, everybody we cross paths, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Sometimes we're so caught up in our own little world and we're hurting, we're bruised, we're this, we're that. You will find healing as you pour out healing to somebody else. What can I do for you? Pray in faith, believing. Then do what you can. You need to get them to a hospital? Do they need to see a doctor? Do they need some food? What can I do for you? An elderly neighbor of ours had fallen, couldn't get out of bed, so another neighbor and I went over to see if we couldn't help. And she was in bed, and so I said, well, have you had anything to eat today? It was around 9 o'clock in the morning or so. She said, not since about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So we got her an English muffin. We got her something to drink. I said, have you taken your meds yet? No, I didn't take my meds. So we gave her her meds. And talking to her a bit, you can't put any weight on this thing. You're going to have to go to the hospital. We figured out finally, she got to go. And then we can't take you. We're going to mess you up worse. Your knee is really messed up. So we need to call an ambulance. So we dial 911. I'm talking to the people. The first thing they said was, don't give her any meds and nothing to eat or drink. And so I said, okay. Ambulance comes, you know. The point is, most of us are not doctors or nurses or psychologists, but we are believers. And now, if you are a doctor, nurse, psychologist, do your thing. God bless you. But we need to quit trying to be those other people and be believers. What can we? Well, we could pray. We could pray. Jamie had said her knee has been bothering her. And Stan, we were in the kitchen this morning. He said, well, let's pray. I thought, isn't the pastor supposed to be the one that says that? You know? But I'm glad Stan said that. We are believers. Let's be believers. You're talking to somebody and they're hurting. Can I pray for you? Maybe we should practice that line together. Let's say it together. Can I pray for you? One more time. Can I pray for you? Good. We've got the English down. Anybody know Spanish? But let's do that. Can I pray for you? Be a Christian. Be a believer. Trust in God. Learn how to heal. It starts by just presenting Jesus. I can't heal. You can't heal. But we know who can. Let's call him together. Forgo all the advice about vitamins and diet. Pray in faith. Pray in Jesus' name. Step up to the plate and swing for the fences. Rarely does anybody object to an offer to pray. I've never had anybody that didn't thank me for having prayed for them. A couple months back, I had asked Dave how his brother was doing. You might remember his brother was in the hospital in danger of losing at least part of his foot, if not his whole foot. And Dave said, well, he's doing much better, thanks. And one of the things he mentioned was, I never felt the presence of God before so strong as when you guys prayed for me. His brother and I think sister, right, Dave, was praying, went in and prayed for him. You know, that would really freak out some people if their brother and sister came in and prayed for them. Even though they're Christians, it's never happened before. Isn't that sad? Really? But we can turn it around. There's time to turn it around. You can pray for your kids. Your kids can pray for you. You can pray for brothers. A husband can pray for a wife can pray for a husband. I give you permission. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And then do it. Learn how to heal. And his brother still has his foot, by the way. God did touch and intervene. So as we close with our song, I'd like to invite anybody who would like to pray for those who might be hurting today to the front first. If you would like to pray for somebody, if you're willing to do that for us, please come forward and face the congregation. And then if you would like to be prayed for while we're singing, come forward. It can be a physical need. It can be, you don't have to mention what you want prayed for. You can tell us what you want prayed for. You can stand in for somebody else that has a need today. But we'll be here to pray this morning. Would you stand with me?